Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mark Murphy's here, too. Mark's a new friend. He's the founder and the CEO of Leadership IQ, which is a leadership training organization that has helped companies large and small. He's the author of a very well-received book, The 100%ers, and his new book is called Hard Goals, The Science of Extraordinary Achievement. Mark Murphy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jay.
It's good to have you here. So what's the difference in hard goals and regular goals?
Well, regular goals are those goals we kind of, whip off real quick. We look at a sheet of paper and say, you know what, I want to lose 20 pounds. Let us write that down. Or, I want to have $1 million. I'll write that down. Or, I want to double my business size. I'll write that down. And we don't really think too much about it. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of like New Year's resolutions. And that's why some 85% of New Year's resolutions get abandoned within 90 days of New Year's.
Mine don't last that. Yeah. How about 9 days?
Yeah, once the euphoria of the New Year rubs off. And that's the problem with a lot of goals. A hard goal, though, is a goal that we take a little extra effort and we really sear into our brain. We really figure out, what is it going to take? Why do I care about this thing? What does this goal look like? And it's a goal that pushes us outside of our comfort zone and gets us to where our brain is actually live. It is not like the morning commute. If you look at neural activity during a morning commute, nobody's paying attention. We're in a trance state. But what we want is that sort of peak performance that great athletes get at, the last 2 minutes of the game. They're alive. They're firing. They're making smart decisions. They're anticipating where the ball is going to be. That's the kind of neurological activity we're really looking for. And that's what a hard goal does.
But what is it that I've raised children, I've got grandchildren, I've worked in the marketplace a long time. What is it that makes one person, two people, let's say, seemingly with basically the same background, one just is happy with regular goals, and another one expects something more out of themselves? What is it that makes a difference?
Well, there's a number of issues, and one of the things is that there are those people who are sort of content to move along. They're meeting whatever their emotional needs are. But what's interesting is that you can take those people who are, just sort of moving along and seemingly pretty normal, and when somebody comes along and cares enough to give them a hard goal, all of a sudden their performance starts to elevate. For example, take somebody like, you remember the movie Stand and Deliver?
Yep.
That was based on a true story of Jaime Escalante, who is a great teacher, and mm-hmm. took the kids out of the barrios in Los Angeles, who everybody said, they give them the seventh grade math books, and he looked at them and said, no way. Everybody's given up on these kids. Not me. We're going to teach them AP calculus. And he did, and, virtually everybody in the class gets a 3, 4, or 5 on their AP exam, passing the exam, getting college credit. And it was this external shock to the system, this exogenous shock that came in. And a lot of the people who are just sort of, they're kind of happy, content,
but some
they've actually never had somebody in their life come in and set a hard goal for them.
Some people, though, are capable of achieving a hard goal if it's set for them, as you just said. Some people, but they're not capable of putting giving themselves that goal. Other people reach for that goal on their own. What is the difference there? I think that's the issue to me, because I've been in both of those cases. I've been where I didn't push myself enough. Someone came in and showed me that I could do more than I could have. And then there have been times when when I felt like I reached for a ring on my own that maybe I originally didn't think I could make. So what is the break point there? How does that happen? What's the tipping point?
There's a kind of an innate achievement motivation, and some people are more achievement oriented than others, and some of this is natural, which, by the way, speaks to what an organization needs to do. Is to the extent possible, you want to hire the people who are innately achievement driven. You know, we did a study that found that attitude does matter in hiring more than skills does. If you hire somebody with that achievement motivation, you're going to be in much better shape.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because this is something I've been maintaining for over 20 years, and I've talked with other experts on the show, and I've said I would rather have intelligence and attitude than experience and you know, any kind of, and even maybe even education. What do you think?
You know, we did a study where we tracked 5,000 hiring managers over a 3-year period, and collectively they hired over 20,000 people. So it's one of the larger hiring studies ever done. And what we found was that a lot of the new hires, that people weren't doing a great job hiring. So 46% of the new hires failed. And
that's pretty high.
That's
untenable.
Yeah, it's a terrible number. But what was even more interesting than how bad the hiring statistics were why the new people failed. And it turned out that only 11% of the new hires failed for lack of skills. The other 89% failed for, number one, coachability.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they couldn't take feedback in, do anything with it. Number two was emotional intelligence. You know, you got to be able to interact with other human beings. Three was motivation, more motivated to get the job than they were to do the job. And then four was temperament, you know, and that's the old dating.
So you're
thing.
Saying the largest reason why people fail was because of themselves, not because of the job, and was that because they were misapplied to the, you know, they were square peg in a round hole, or they were unredeemable? What do you think?
Both. Part of it, like the temperament thing, was, you know, you have a real team-based organization and you hire somebody who's an individual hunter type.
Right.
And then, but the bulk of them were actually more that the person was untenable.
Unredeemable.
They lacked some of the fundamental attributes.
Now, when was this taken? When was this poll taken?
This was a study we conducted over about the past 4 years.
Wow. What does that say about the job process? I mean, the employee prospects out there, I should say. The book is called Hard Goals. The author is Mark Murphy. He's our friend, our new friend, and our guest this half hour. We come back, we're going to talk about what does HARD mean? H-A-R-D. He's got, that's an acronym that he explains in the book. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.